Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all once again. It's been 2 years since we were last here. I'm here also with my faithful partner, Ruth. So it's going to be a team talk this morning.
I was just going to do a few words of introduction, then hand over to Martin, and then come back at the end just to finish with some prayer requests. Always conscious that new people come and go from churches, so just to give a brief word of introduction as to who we are and what we've been doing. Now you see, we're missionaries with Reach Beyond. You may think, well, a few years ago we were with HCJB. Well, it's the same organisation. Had a name change a couple of years ago. Mission started 85 years ago in Ecuador. Changed its name 2 years ago to reflect the fact that we're now working in many parts of the world and aiming to reach unreached people groups, and doing that through radio, new media, medical work, community development. And so we have the tagline, Voice and Hands of Jesus Together. We have that slide. Thank you. We've been missionaries with Reach Beyond for 13 years, working in those areas I've just mentioned. And Kendall Road has been one of our sending churches for 11 years. I got it wrong earlier. It's not 10 years, it's 11 years. But our connection goes right back to 2003 when we turned up here as students at Redcliffe. We studied for 2 years at Redcliffe, and we became part of the home group that Jean and Brian Kenyon were leading. And we've stayed linked to that home group over the years. Jean's our mission champion here, of course. And they've never missed a birthday or Christmas for any of us. And it's just great encouragement and support. We were in Ecuador for 6 years, working community development water projects and mobilizing particularly Latin Americans to go into mission. Kendall Road Puppets came out to Ecuador during that time with Richard, Esther and Abby, and did a Spanish number in one of the communities we were working in. Both those teams in Ecuador are doing well. We get good reports from them. We get prayer letters from Latin American missionaries serving around the world. And both teams were involved helping after the recent earthquake as well. Next one. This is us 10 years ago or so. Ben and Lottie grew up in Ecuador. They're at school there. They speak Spanish. There they are, one of the water projects that they were working on. We were working on. They helped. 10 years on, Ben's in year 10 now, Lottie in year 8, and God willing, they're coming with us this summer when we go out to Central Asia to go with Martin this time on a project. We do value your prayers and your ongoing support. So as I say, I hand over to Martin, but then I'll share a little bit more at the end in terms of prayer. Thank you.
Well, the theme for our presentation was there on the first slide, and there were three words beginning with C: compassion, community, and Christ. And over the next few minutes, I'd like to explore those themes, those words with you, and especially how they connect with one another, because I think there's a pattern there that one flows into the other and into the other. Now, since it is Pentecost Sunday, we're going to think especially about how those verses link with this idea of compassion, community, and Christ. The verses in Acts we're going to turn to. Acts chapter 2. Let's press this and see if they appear. Yes, they do. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and then verses 42 to 47. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It's not changing. Thank you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what we're seeing happening here is a number of different things, but what struck me especially was this expression of compassion that they had for those that were in need. They were prepared to sell possessions and property to help anyone who had need. And I don't think this was just a mutual back-scratching exercise. I'll help you if you help me. I think what was going on was a very practical demonstration of compassion for people both within that community that was forming and for those outside of it as well. Verse 47 suggests that the general population was noticing what was going on here as well. It says that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. So this is obviously being noticed by people in the general population. So what was their motivation for expressing such amazing compassion in this way? It must have been the example that Christ had provided for them not long before, that he had loved them with a sacrificial love, even to the point of giving his own life. And so they felt that anything they could do, it's not in comparison really to what Christ did for them. So with that perspective and now full of the Spirit, they're showing this radical compassion. They're starting to function in a vibrant community. And through this, they're starting to make Christ known to the world around them. And this, as we might think, is how the church grows. The Holy Spirit within us enables us to have this compassion. I think it's hard to muster that kind of love up from within ourselves in our own strength sometimes. He gives us a heart that beats in time with his. And to be the hands of Jesus that are willing to act and to respond. As we live like this, our actions can speak as loud as our words. St. Francis of Assisi said this. He said, "It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is the preaching." So what he means by this is it needs to be both. It needs to be our words spoken and our actions lived out. Any words that we use to reveal Christ must be in sync with our actions. I don't know if you've ever seen a film where all of a sudden the dubbing goes wrong and you've got the picture there, but all of the words are out of sync with what you're looking at on the screen. And it doesn't make sense as the viewer, does it? And it becomes confusing. And what we tend to do is just switch off or turn to another channel when that happens. And I wonder if, as Christians, if our actions and our words are not in sync, then how do we appear to those who are watching us? This is why we really like the slide and the logo that Reach Beyond has, the voice and hands of Jesus together. At Pentecost, we see how this community was forming. In other words, the early church. People were drawn into it through these actions of compassion, as well as the words of Peter, who stood up to speak to the crowd and to explain what was going on, to explain about Christ, to explain these manifestations of the Holy Spirit that they were seeing. God anoints this newly formed community by pouring out his Spirit upon them when they're together. The Spirit didn't appear, as far as I know, to individuals privately in their own homes. This was a public confirmation that this group of believers, this community, this first church, was to be Christ's channel for making himself known to the nations. And I don't think between then and now anything's changed. That's still the model which we use. So I see a clear progression or connection in these truths. The expression of compassion leads to the building of community. And through those two things, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Compassion, community, and Christ. So here's a question or two for you. Is this a pattern that you can identify in your own life? Compassion, community, and Christ. What about in your workplace, or maybe at home or at school? Do you have opportunities to show compassion to those that are around you? Are your eyes open to these opportunities? Are we seeing with Christ's eyes? I think that was mentioned in one of the last songs. How might we build community in the places around us, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes? How might the church help build community, both within its four walls and then beyond, in the neighbourhood? It was really good to hear this morning of some of the examples that are coming up of how the church is going to be able to do that, celebrating the Queen's birthday, for example. And as we do this, how might Christ be revealed and made known through these expressions of compassion and community? How do we do these things with intentionality to make him known? What we find in our work with Reach Beyond is that it's really important to start with compassion. We're often building relationship with people who are living in poverty or having to experience quite extreme situations in life. And we need to think back to how Jesus responded. What did he do when he met sick people? Well, the first thing he did was to heal them. And then he restored them back into community, back into society. And he challenged them to follow him from that point on. And so there we see that flow again of compassion, community, and Christ. So as we work with Reach Beyond, we're simply following in Christ's footsteps, following that example of how to live, to make our walking the preaching, as St. Francis put it. So what I'd like to do now, having just come up with a brief reflection there, I'd like to show a couple of examples from our recent work of how we're seeing this taking place. So first of all, we're going to go back to the community of Harmy. This is the place that was mentioned in the video we saw earlier. Harmy is a village in the mountains of Nepal. The people there are Hindu. And life there is pretty tough, really. It's subsistence agriculture, mostly. It's very common, sadly, for women to die in childbirth and for the babies to die with them. And so Reach Beyond has been working in this community for more than 6 years now. Some of the issues there include human trafficking, lack of healthcare, and, of course, lack of access to the gospel. So in response to this situation of people dying in childbirth, a few years ago, Reach Beyond helped the community to build a birthing centre. This has been running for 4 or 5 years now, and it's really transformed the healthcare in that area. And during the time that we were working there, alongside some Nepali partners, two families there came to know Christ. And that was through the testimonies of the missionaries that were working there. These new believers were able to establish a radio station. As you know, Reach Beyond, formerly HCJB, has been involved in radio as well as healthcare over the years. And so we helped them to establish a community radio station. And that is providing all sorts of programming, things on how to do better agriculture, health, hygiene, community news. And the believers who are running this station are able to use a lot of biblical material in the way in which they present these things, even though they can't openly say that in that Hindu context. But through these community development projects, compassion is being expressed. We're seeing community developed, and Christ, slowly but surely, is being revealed there. So much so that last February, just before the earthquake struck, a house church began to meet in that community for the first time ever. Just two small families in a village of many thousands of people. And a community transformation was really getting underway at that point. But then on April 25th of last year, the earthquake struck, 7.8 magnitude, which is a considerably strong earthquake. A nation was shook to its core. Now, Nepal is a country I've always wanted to visit. I enjoy climbing mountains, and there are plenty of them there in Nepal, but I hadn't anticipated going to this country under the circumstances of an earthquake, but within 24 hours of hearing the news, Reach Beyond had a plan, and they were going to send an assessment team there to look at what some of the issues were and how we might respond to them as a mission organization. And so I found myself on a flight to Kathmandu, certainly one of the more bizarre airplane flights I've ever taken. The airplane was full of rescue workers, burly firemen, guys in their rescue gear, and these search and rescue dogs were walking up and down inside the cabin, saying hello to everybody. There was equipment piled high on the seats, and amongst all of that, the air hostesses were trying to go up and down with their trolleys of food and drink. So it wasn't a particularly routine flight, but one to remember. But it got us there, onto the ground in Kathmandu, 3 days after the earthquake. And when we got there, we found that obviously there was a huge amount of devastation. The roads were blocked. There were streams of people leaving the city. Very little communication. And we found us ourselves as a team couldn't even get out of the city because of the chaos. But slowly but surely, the conditions did begin to improve. And we traveled with our Nepali partner in a 4x4 truck and went to the community of Hami, taking with us blankets and shelter, food, and medical supplies that had been provided by a number of churches and hospitals in the Yorkshire area. Upon our arrival there, we were very well received, as you might imagine, by the community. Nobody else had been able to reach them, and so we were the first people to arrive with essential supplies for them. During our time there, there was another aftershock, a 6.3, which is pretty strong. It feels something like standing on a trampoline with the ground going up and down. And whilst we were there, you know, many people were screaming and shouting when that happened. So it just made you realize the terror of having to live through something that was even stronger than that. But amazingly, only two people died in the village of Hami. This photo here is the pastor's house, and as you can see, the only thing that was left standing was the doorway. Again, a reminder, if you are in an earthquake, go to a doorway. It's the safest place to be. But amazingly, only two people died there. We were able to visit the birthing center and found that that was still standing, but the clinic that it was attached to was quite severely damaged, and the radio station was damaged as well. We were able to distribute medical supplies and provide some much-needed medical care. And, the plan is in the future for us to go back. 2 weeks, no, June the 17th, a month from now. I'm going to be heading back out there with a team, and we're going to be involved in the reconstruction of this community. We're going to help rebuild the radio station. We're going to be looking at the medical facilities, potentially the water system as well. And our longer-term hope is to help them to build a community center which will serve as the first ever church there. So, please do continue to pray for the village of Hami. It's amazing how, through adversity, Christ can really shine through, that acts of compassion shown in a time of need can strengthen community and see Christ revealed in this way. Now we're going to head to another part of the world, heading on to Central Asia. And I'm going to tell you briefly about a missionary named Carol. Here's a picture of her in the market. Now, she's worked in Central Asia for more than 20 years. Having heard about the huge levels of domestic abuse, violence, human trafficking, and even something they call bridenapping, the kidnapping of brides into forced marriage. These are things that God put on her heart to do something about. And so she began to establish a ministry there that would rescue people out of these circumstances, women and children who are so adversely affected by this kind of practice. She began by building safe houses for people to escape to and live in. And then she began to teach income-generating skills, teaching the women sewing and horticulture so that they could provide for themselves and for their children. And as she did these very practical acts of compassion, she began to share her faith with these women as well. And many of them came to Christ. Now, amazingly, these women who are now full of Christ's compassion are starting to help others who've suffered with these things, with domestic abuse and bride kidnapping. And it's just amazing to see what's going on as they do this. These local women have established their own charity, which is now helping more people suffering with these circumstances. They're helping practically through the provision of life skills, and they're helping spiritually as believers to input into the lives of the women that have been suffering. But after a while, as they did this work, they were thinking, well, what we're doing here is treating the symptoms of the problem, but wouldn't it be better if we could get to the root cause of it to stop some of these things from happening in the first place? So the women took a very bold decision, and they decided that they would go back to the villages that they'd escaped from. And what they're starting to do now is to provide their own training programs about conflict resolution. They're starting to teach peaceful conflict resolution strategies to the women in those villages, and now even amazingly to the men. And it's been heard said by the men, wow, we didn't know it was even possible to settle disputes without fighting, but you've given us tools to be able to do this. And so God is really working in a very special way in some of these villages. And those tools that they're using are principles taken straight from the Bible. But they can't say that in the Central Asian context. It's an Islamic country, the one we're working in. But nevertheless, they can use biblical principles to teach people about more healthy ways to live. The charity is now expanding its activities to include health and hygiene and nutrition, and they've recently started a community development program. And this is where Reach Beyond's getting more and more involved. These women have good skills in terms of teaching about nutrition and how to reduce domestic violence and so on, but they don't have skills in medical care or water projects, for example. And so that's what we're going to be doing in the future. Last September, we took a medical team there for the first time to help them with some of the medical care that is going to be provided. We visited three communities and saw more than 400 patients just in a four-day period. And then as we move forwards, we're going to be getting involved with water projects. And I'm going to be returning to Kyrgyzstan later this year to look at a water system. And there are going to be ones in this area where the women's project is working as well. It's going to be great to have Ruth and Ben and Lottie join me this year as well on the next medical team. So please do pray for us as we go out there to provide that kind of help. So it's really good to see how people are being reconciled to God through these projects. Compassion is being expressed. We're seeing community built, and Christ really has been revealed through these different projects. What I'm going to do now is just show a very short video to give you a better flavor of what's going on in Central Asia. I think you've probably heard enough of my voice for the time being, so we'll play the Central Asia video. In this update, we bring you up to speed with our HAMS healthcare ministries in the Europe-Eurasia region. 2013 saw our first mobile medical team in Central Asia and a water project, working with a partner. In 2014, we returned to the same remote area to further facilitate credibility and relationship building for our partner. These first teams put Central Asia on the map for HAMS ministry, both for Reach Beyond and those we want to attract to serve with us in this region. Now it's time to move forwards. We have just completed a third medical team with another local partner in a different area. The team encountered various health issues. Dr. Steve Nelson explains.
Toilet problems that we're seeing here are similar to others that we've seen in agricultural communities where people complain of a lot of back pain. Overweight is an issue here. Very high fat diet in this community in this country adds to problems that in turn lead to hypertension. So we're seeing quite a bit of high blood pressure as well. The children are apparently suffering from a parasitic problem that we don't see very often in other places, and liver cysts are being seen with some degree of frequency.
It was wonderful to see the team again provide essential compassionate health care. However, what are really exciting are the longer term partnerships that have an opportunity to develop. The local Christian partner we served with this year would like to explore provision of further mobile medical care, community development training and water projects. Another established partner has an ambitious strategy to develop family medicine clinics. We visited a building that is currently being remodeled into what will be a class-leading medical centre. We also visited a clinic situated inside two adapted shipping containers. Another potential future partner would like to see a small medical facility established and community development projects. These would reach out to strongly Muslim people groups in their target region. In each case, Reach Beyond would recruit young professionals or long-term workers to serve alongside these partners, people who have a heart to follow the Lord into the unreached and unengaged places of Central Asia. Whilst the door may be closed in Central Asia for conventional mission, Reach Beyond goes in through the window, a window provided by the fact that we can deploy medical and community development professionals who have relevant skills. There are many opportunities for such people. Join us in praying that the Lord would raise up workers for the harvest.
Okay, well, to finish, we do just want to say thank you so much for your prayers and for your support as a church for us. Thank you for the monthly financial help that you give, as well as the prayer support. And so just as we finish, just to share a few more prayer requests. You've probably got quite a few from what we were just saying. But just to try and sum up some of the other areas in which we're working. Quite a few. Hang on, Mark. Chris has got it. Okay, so, been back in the UK for 4 years. These are our current job titles, which probably don't mean much. So to just try and give you prayer requests, I've tried to sum up all the different things that we do in six areas. You've heard about water projects. You've seen them here. That's what took us to Ecuador. That's still very much on our heart, and it's a core part of Reach Beyond's work as well. Martin Gutzos got back on Monday, actually, from Central Asia. Been back to check that water system, and it's still working. That one was done 3 years ago. Surveyed for another one that he'll be working on in September. We passed on to Danny one of these packs. We're sharing the need for that, and we're calling it Reach for Water. So if that's something that you're interested in, then there's more information and out the back as well. Okay. Martin's mentioned medical teams. The reason we're all going in the summer is to go and see what Martin gets up to while the other people are being treated. There's often children hanging around, and so I think the idea is that the kids and I will play with those kids, we'll be with those local ladies. It's all about relationship building, so that's why we're heading out there. This will be the fourth medical team in 4 years into that country, and all the time linking with those local partners, so we value prayer for that. We've mentioned, of course, disaster relief this morning. Martin went to Haiti as well, as you remember, in 2010 after that earthquake. He's on the list for the team for whenever that might be needed. The rebuilding work is as a result of the appeal on the video. I meant to say we're not asking for more money. That was then. It was raised. God provided a lot of money. They're going back to do that. Including the photograph there of an interview with BBC. Before, during and after his time there, we did quite a few interviews with the BBC. Not something particularly looked for, but it was an incredible opportunity to share our faith very publicly at that time. So do keep praying for that work and for whatever else might come up. For the last 4 years, I've been teaching the Growing Leaders Development course at our local church. Had the opportunity to teach parts of it to three Reach Beyond teams. This particular team on the slide, the ones that Martin's been working with in Central Asia, 15 team leaders for a four-day intensive course, just seeing where else we might be able to use that in the future. Okay. Our current roles mean that we're giving leadership to new projects, as well as doing some strategic planning with the mission. So that's lots of discussions and looking at budgets and vision setting and so on. But it's great to be involved in that side of the work as well. And lastly, mobilisation. It's all about new missionaries as well as equipping existing missionaries to be more effective. In other words, sending others out. And that involves a lot of recruitment work, training and pastoral care. That's my main focus, serving with Reach Beyond. Next one, we pray, particularly pray as I work with this chap called David Allen from Northern Ireland. He wants to go out work in Ecuador for a couple of years. So he's support raising at the moment and just walking through all that with him. If you'd like to become a prayer partner with us, you give us your email and postal address. We can keep you up to date with other prayer requests. Got all the usual information on the table at the back, but also a friend of ours has started producing prayer colouring sheets. I know a lot of people are using colouring to be reflective, so we've got some the countries that we work in, Bible verses to do with water, and so on. Please help yourself to those and pray for the work. Thank you. Next one. So thank you for your support, thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for sending us into mission. Thank you.